The FAA accuses David Riggs of witness intimidation. America's space plane is back in space. And could a private investor bring back American Airlines? This is Aero News for Thursday, December 13, 2012. I'm Glenn Moyer. Day one before an NTSB administrative law judge did not go well for aviation's bad boy, David Glenn Riggs. As we reported here yesterday, Riggs' hearing before the NTSB to begin his defense against the FAA's emergency revocation order began with the news that Riggs had filed suit against three of the witnesses who provided testimony against him to the FAA. As his hearing began, FAA counsel Naomi Suda started in early, telling Judge Patrick Garrity that she believes the lawsuit and documents Riggs filed was a clear attempt to intimidate the witnesses. Judge Garrity appeared aware of those concerns, and our sources report that he indicated that he was, quote, distressed, end quote, by the documents Riggs' attorney sent to the three witnesses. Garrity appeared to believe that Riggs' claims may indeed be an attempt to intimidate witnesses, and noted that the document was, quote, threatening in its tone, end quote, and added that he has never seen something like this in all his years with the NTSB. Riggs' troubles with the FAA and NTSB stem from an accident on May the 18th when he allegedly operated an experimentally certificated aircraft on three separate passenger-carrying flights for compensation or hire when he was aware that he was not allowed to conduct such flights. One of the aircraft crashed, killing the pilot, a Riggs associate, and the passenger. Riggs' hearing before the NTSB judge continues today. The U.S. Air Force successfully launched its X-37B Orbital Test Vehicle, OTV, on a return to space on Tuesday, December the 11th. The launch from Cape Canaveral, Florida's Launch Complex 41 is a repeat trip to space for OTV-1 and comes on the heels of a successful flight of OTV-2, which made an autonomous landing at Vandenberg Air Force Base, California, June 11th after a record 469 days in space. The X-37B orbital test vehicle is led by the Air Force Rapid Capabilities Office and is designed to demonstrate reusable spacecraft technologies for America's future in space and operating experiments which can be returned to and examined here on Earth. Technologies being tested in the program include advanced guidance, navigation and control, thermal protection systems, avionics, high-temperature structures and seals, conformal reusable insulation, lightweight electromechanical flight systems, and autonomous orbital flight, reentry, and landing. Lieutenant Colonel Tom McIntyre, the X-37B program manager for the Air Force, said, quote, "This mission will incorporate the lessons learned during the refurbishment process on OTV-1, and as the X-37B program is examining the affordability and reusability of space vehicles, validation through testing is vital to the process. We are excited to see how this vehicle performs on its second flight." End quote. Officials anticipate multiple missions will be required to satisfy the test program objectives, but the exact number of missions has not been determined. AMR Corporation is nearing its exit from Chapter 11 bankruptcy proceedings, according to CEO Tom Horton, and he could be willing to accept private equity to help bring the company back to solvency. Bloomberg Businessweek reports that Horton said in an interview that he has not yet determined whether the airline would do best as a standalone carrier or if it should merge with Suter U.S. Airways. Horton said that the final capital structure for the airline is still being developed and that he is open to discussions with a private equity partner. He predicted that the company would, quote, have industry-leading margins, end quote, that would make it an attractive investment. If AMR merges with U.S. Airways, the move would make the combined airline the world's largest based on passenger traffic. The merger talks have been going on since January, and a merger is supported by American's Pilots Union. The Allied Pilots Association reached a new labor agreement with American just last week, the last of the airline's labor unions to do so. NASA announced on Monday that it has selected three companies to conduct activities under contract that will restore America's ability to launch crews to the International Space Station. The three companies are Boeing, Sierra Nevada Corporation Space System, and SpaceX. Each of the companies received awards of $9.5 to $10 million. The three companies will work with NASA to achieve the goal of safely and cost-effectively launching astronauts from home within the next 5 years, which will end NASA's reliance on Russia for such transportation services. During the Phase 1 of their contracts from January 22, 2013 through May 30, 2014, The companies will work with NASA's Commercial Crew Program to discuss and develop products to implement the agency's flight safety and performance requirements. This includes implementation across all aspects of the space system, including the spacecraft, launch vehicle, and ground and mission operations. The second phase of the certification contract, expected to begin in mid-2014, will involve a full and open competition. It will include the final development, testing, and verifications necessary to allow crewed demonstration flights to the space station. Following an 18-month test program that lasted 350 flight hours over 150 flights, Dassault says the Falcon 2000S will substantially beat its initial performance specifications when the airplane is certified, which is expected early next year. The jet demonstrated better than projected low-speed performance in particular. Launched in May of 2011, the Falcon 2000S brings a large cabin aircraft to the super mid-sized business jet market. The aircraft can carry six passengers 3,350 nautical miles at Mach 0.80. According to the company, the Falcon 2000S will climb directly to 41,000 feet in 19 minutes, reach a mid-cruise altitude of 45,000 feet, and offer a certified ceiling of 47,000 feet. The Falcon 2000S will be able to access up to 50% more airports than any other business jet in its class. When Aero News continues, Robinson joins the International Helicopter Safety Team. NavWorks Universal Access Transceiver is fully operational. And finally, School Days, a new twist on an old story.
Diamond Aircraft's new DA-40 Diamond Star XL includes all popular Diamond options, combined with the sensational new Garmin GFC-700 Autopilot, a higher performance power plant, and increased gross weight. This makes the Diamond Star XL the perfect choice for affordable personal flying. The Diamond Star XL features equipment and enhancements that increase performance, capability, safety, convenience, and comfort. Visit Diamond on the web at www.diamondair.com or call 888-359-3020.
Aero News continues now for Thursday, December the 13th. I'm Glenn Moyer. Helicopter safety organization, the International Helicopter Safety Team, has added Robinson Helicopter Company President Kurt Robinson to its executive committee. Kurt Robinson heads the Robinson Helicopter Company, has been with the company for more than 25 years, and has been president since 2010. He is a commercial-rated helicopter pilot and holds an MBA and a law degree from the University of San Diego. The International Helicopter Safety Team was formed to lead a government and industry cooperative effort to address factors that were affecting an unacceptable helicopter accident rate. The group's mission is to reduce the international civil helicopter accident rate by 80%. The effort is co-chaired by the FAA and the Helicopter Association International. Worldwide partners now supporting the work of the IHST include government and industry participants from the United States, Canada, Brazil, Japan, Australia, India, Russia, and multiple countries in Europe and in the Middle East and North Africa regions. Avionics company NavWorks says its universal access transceiver, delivering the benefits of next-gen air transportation technology to general aviation aircraft, is, quote, fully operational, end quote, and the company expects TSO certification soon. The company's flagship product, the ADS-6000B, is a single device that both transmits and receives critical flight data and information services into the cockpit. Pilots can choose from a variety of options to display this data, including panel-mounted or portable devices. The ADS-600B is designed to meet the FAA's 2020 mandatory compliance requirements for ADS-B equipage. NavWorks says the unit delivers the full benefits of ADS-B, requiring no transponder or display changes, additional equipment, or installations. The ADS-600B is a single compact unit and fully compatible with the most commonly used EFIS, EFB, iPad, and other devices. NavWorks equipment is available today and can be installed on both experimental and certified aircraft. This final story puts a new spin on the old tale parents pass on to their kids. You know the one, about having to walk a mile, in the snow, uphill, both ways, to get to school. After deciding he'd rather not have to walk the 400 yards to the bus stop in December and January with his grade school-age son, Paul Wallach used his technical knowledge to build a camera-carrying quadcopter to follow his son to the bus stop. Wallach told his story to NBC News, which was relayed by the Huffington Post. Wallach wrote that the aircraft isn't a perfect solution. He said that a GPS tracker in his son's backpack is supposed to guide the quadcopter, but that sometimes trees and other obstacles get in the way. He also said that battery life is an issue. For those reasons, he says he usually does the trip to the bus stop in person anyway. Wallach said he built the quadcopter out of off-the-shelf parts and used a smartphone with video chat for the communications link. His son reportedly thinks it's pretty cool. We'll leave comments on his parenting skills to those with more expertise in that field. I'm Glenn Moyer. Sorry that I'm still a little vocally challenged, and thank you for hanging in there with me. You're now cleared for departure.